Welcome to In Season, where we explore the farms, gardens, and wild spaces in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff. This week's show had me driving out along Lewis and Clark Road in Clatsop County to visit Melville Farms, where farmer Wendy LaRue specializes in pasture-raised beef, pork, and poultry. It was a drizzly winter morning when I met Wendy and her two young children, Quinn and Jethro, at their barn. A batch of brand new baby chicks were chirping away under heat lamps, and Ziggy the pig was snuffling for treats in his pen nearby. You'll hear a lot of kids chattering and Wendy and I laughing throughout this interview, which followed what I imagine to be Wendy's regular routine, juggling a couple of lively young children while caring for her animals and her land. So Wendy, I'm laughing because this is version two of our interview, because already there's been lots of chaos, which is just kind of what farming is all about.
Yes.
You kind of have to roll with whatever happens. So talking to Wendy LaRue of Melville Farms, and we're out here on Lewis and Clark Road, and standing next to your hutch of baby chicks.
Yes.
And there's a lovely light drizzle going on. We have Jethro and Gwen. And tell me how old they are.
Quinn is 3 and Jethro is 15 months.
15 months. So. And you are running a farm.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that's very impressive. So tell us what you do at Melville Farms.
So we do pasture-based management to raise our pork, beef, and our poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're focusing on broiler chickens and also duck.
Mm-hmm.
Those have yet to start for the season, the duck part. But so everything is either on woodland or pasture the majority of the year, just based on flooding and stuff. Sometimes they have to come in like Ziggy.
Yeah.
Our pig.
Ziggy is the pig.
Yes. And but the pasture... But the beef is on pasture year-round.
Uh-huh.
The birds get started in the broiler for the first couple weeks of life, and then they get put on pasture for the remainder. So they are on pasture 100% of the time and then get supplemented non-GMO feed that we get milled locally just over in Buxton.
Oh, nice.
So it's another small family farm operation, and so we kind of enjoy the small batch feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then also support the non-GMO, corn, soy-free, without any filler. So really top quality nutrition, probably better than I eat for our poultry and pork. And then our 100% grass-fed beef. So
that actually is interesting how often people who are caring for their animals in this way, I mean, you're really concerned about their quality of life and the quality of their diet. And oftentimes we do pay more attention to how well they're doing as opposed to us. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll eat a muffin. You guys get the nutrition, created.
The balanced nutrition.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much land do you operate on?
Well, my parents just let us take over some of their pasture, the majority of their pasture, and allowed us to start creating new pasture. So we're going to have about 25 acres here, and then about 20 acres scattered throughout the Lewis and Clark Valley, and then a handful of acres actually out on Green Mountain, potentially.
Okay, so you're just leasing land in different places.
Yes.
That's got to be challenging.
It's very challenging. Up until this last summer, we actually operated without a trailer. So it was all trade. I'll be your indentured servant so I can use your trailer. And so now we have our own trailer and we do a lot of rotation grazing. So we have a sacrifice pasture through the winter so the rest of our forage can recover and start growing again. But yeah, we just constantly moving cows, constantly moving paddocks, and it's just...
And moving kids.
And moving kids. Yeah. There are times where it's just not feasible to have them in a stroller just because of moving cows. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And so there's one on front, one on back.
Oh my goodness,
and
really.
And we are... wrangling cows.
Yeah. Jethro, do you like wrangling cows?
He does. They're all very, for livestock, they're pretty docile. They're used to being handled.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad. Hold on, Quinn.
So you grew up in this area.
I did. Born and raised.
Clatsop County.
Clatsop County. Went through the Astoria School District. The house my dad built for my childhood is actually just up the road.
Oh, wow.
And so that was gave me my start and my love of the Lewis and Clark Valley, I think. It was on 10 acres, and we had kind of a handful of cows, a couple of geese, a couple of chickens, brought home a sheep every now and again. So it's like,
did you do 4-H?
I did 4-H. I love small livestock probably more than anything. I couldn't get away from the bunnies. But
they are pretty alluring.
Yeah. So then they ended up selling that place and got this place, mm-hmm. Which is now 96 acres. Careful, babe. And so I'm slowly but surely trying to take over the ag operations here on the property that was acquired in 2001.
Yeah.
And
so we were looking earlier at the marker. There's some cement that was poured, a footing for some stairs, and there's your parents' name in there with 2001 written on it. So you have a date for this property.
Yes.
You know when this came into your family. Oh, there he goes, Jethro.
Yep, Jethro!
So we had to just pause there while Jethro had to go recapture Jethro. He's fast.
He's quick for a baby.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. That astounds me that you're trying to do all of this and you have two young children.
Yes.
And you do most of this by yourself.
Yes. My husband, we joke that he's the, you know, most helpful farmhand. but yeah, he has supported me 100%. He really helps with some of the more dangerous aspects. So like stretching wire with two kids on your back isn't really a good idea. So like he and my dad have really supported me and then kind of become a part of it, whether willingly or not.
Kind of how it happens. I think my husband Packy would say much the same.
Yes. So yeah, it's all started with like a kind of a dream, and then, you know, like our neighbors started supporting us. They're like, here, like, please use our pasture. We'd love to see you guys start farming. And then my parents are the same, and Zach was just kind of the reluctant the reluctant farmer of it all. But
But not supportive. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he works full time.
Yeah.
And so it's me day in, day out. And then he kind of helps on the weekends and during the evenings when he can.
Yeah. But it's a lot. It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment. It's more of a, he's willing to commit to the life.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a hobby.
No.
It's
a way of life.
Yeah. You think about it. You breathe it.
Yeah.
And you...
Yeah, it's a commitment to a lot of things.
Yes.
I know. So you grew up here, you went through 4-H, you went through the Astoria School, and then I'm assuming you went away for college.
I did. I went to Oregon State. Go Biebs. And I majored in forestry.
Really?
So I'm a forester. I started out in forestry. And then I came back here, worked for the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District for a number of years, and really realized that what drew me to forestry and helping landowners.
Yeah.
I love working with landowners, so I started farming.
Did you get to visit a lot of farms? You get to visit places, so you were seeing that way of life.
I was seeing it. And even still, even though farming, you're doing it on your own land, it's like I connect with people this way. So it's, you know, we start getting stuff in restaurants and, you know, through farmers markets. And it's like learn from each other.
Let's walk and follow. We're following Jethro. We're just going to walk and see where he goes.
Yeah. What? No. You can come out here if you want. You can play in the puddle.
There's a really awesome puddle over here that we're jumping in. Oh, So, I mean, this is part of it, too. It's like you've got kids and you're running around, and that's all part of the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be hugely challenging.
One of the driving forces, I think, for me was I started out small thinking, I want to just grow my own meat. And
Did you have concerns about, like, sort of that, you know, where does your meat come from? How is it raised?
100%. And since I was raised in a manner of speaking is pretty spoiled because my parents grew all of our meat.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to college and I was kind of like, huh. And then I went to the grocery store and I was like, I can't afford to eat the meat I want to eat.
Yeah.
So let's just grow it. And then it kind of started my love. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I'm just going to grow all our meat. Uh-huh. I'm not going to go to the grocery store anymore.
Yeah.
And then it turned into, hey, Wendy, can you sell me a couple of chickens? And I was like, well, sure.
Yeah.
Pay for my own chicken. Yeah. And
so yeah, it started kind of or, you know, organically like that, in that sense of, then you start to develop a market for it because people see what you're doing and
right.
want that. And there, and in Clatsop County, there's, I mean, is there much like direct market meat production going on?
There's a handful of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe explain the difference, because I know this is confusing to people. Sometimes you can, it depends on how the meat is slaughtered
yes.
and processed as to whether you can sell it in parts. Or yes. whether someone has to purchase a whole animal.
Yes.
So maybe explain a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when we sell direct to consumer, we're able to sell to a custom meat butcher that will come to our property, you know, do the processing to a certain extent here, take the carcass back with them, and then, you know, custom order freeze pack, and then the customer picks it up. We really like that way because yeah. it seems like, you know, every animal gets a bad 3 seconds, but
yeah.
they don't know what's coming. It's very peaceful.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as it can be. The other way is you take them to a USDA slaughtered facility mm-hmm. on a certain day. And
the nearest one is quite a ways
Carlton.
Away.
Carlton.
Yeah.
So we haven't yet done that for our large livestock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I said, we didn't have a trailer of our own, and it's kind of cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. But we are licensed to do prepackaged meat sales. For our chickens, they're a bit more of a peaceful traveler. So we actually take our chickens and our duck down to Wilhelmina Processing Plant,
mm-hmm.
Which is a USDA-exempt facility. So we're able to sell it wholesale to restaurants, stores. And then everything's processed there, so customers buying directly from us get the same top-notch quality product.
Yeah.
Which
is great. And so, I mean, I know that definitely I've been hearing Melville Farms' name around at restaurants and in the community a lot more, and hopefully people will continue to hear more of it.
I hope
but
so.
But it's exciting to get that out there and to let people know that that here you are in Lewis and Clark, you know, in Clatsop County. And that chicken that you're enjoying on the menu, you know, was raised just a little ways away.
Yeah, raised just a little ways away and
raised really well.
Yeah, we kind of do what we call a gut check. It's like if we're happy with the way it's raised and, you know, it gives us the warm fuzzies,
mm-hmm.
then we're ready to back it 100%.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what Zach found really intriguing, my husband. He's like, wow, like this is so different than that a lot of people think of when they think of meat production.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in some ways, I think what a lot of people want to think of with meat production is what you're doing. They want
right.
their animals to be having this kind of experience. If you're going to eat meat and you're going to purchase it from someone else, you want to at least think that it's been raised ethically, that it's been cared for, that it's had a good life. And sadly, so often, like, what you're getting does not have that life.
Yes.
So.
Right.
I mean, it does make it more expensive.
It does make it more expensive.
We're going to take a break now to remind you that you're listening to Coast Community Radio on KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria and KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, serving Pacific, Wakayakum, Clatsop, and Tillamook counties, and streaming live at coastradio.org. If you're just joining us for In Season, on this week's show, I spoke with Wendy LaRue of Melville Farms near Astoria. Wendy raises pastured beef, pork, and poultry. We spoke on a rainy winter morning at her barn in the Lewis and Clark Valley, with baby chicks chirping in the background and her two young children, Quinn and Jethro, hopping around on hay bales and jumping in rain puddles.
So standing on the bucket under the gutter, when it tips over into a big puddle, you're going to get wet. I kind of love how he rolls with it. I mean, that's a great, just, it teaches you resilience. It just teaches you, yeah, I mean, he is completely unfazed by that, which is just lovely to see.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the magic, I think, is Quinn will, like, hand feed each and every broiler sometimes. Like, when we're out and it takes, like, 3 hours to do rounds. But at the same time, it's like when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear the clucking and you just see this cute little 3-year-old just, come here, chick, 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 chick. So... It's It's kind of multifaceted, our love of farming.
Yeah.
I love farming itself, and then I love how our kids are getting raised because of it.
Yeah. So you talk about your neighbors being supportive and encouraging. I mean, is it something that, I mean, I know I've seen that out in Olney where we're farming. You know, people are really happy to see someone farming here in Clatsop County. I think farming really declined in this region over, you know, decades, sort of post-World War II. And to see that coming back again, do you feel like you're getting that kind of support and encouragement, or do people think you're just crazy and why would you do this?
I would say both. And so I think they love seeing farming because it brings them back to when they farmed.
Uh-huh.
And whether they stopped because it was, you know, really time intensive and they moved on to something else, or, you know, physical things. They see us and they're like, you are crazy. Please let us help you. And there are times when there are kids in pajamas and we are like sprinting around trying to get calves back in their field, and the neighbors are like holding one of my children and be like, do you need any help? Like, and we call it the happy hour crew at one of our neighbor's house, and a bunch of gentlemen that are probably mid 50s and up, they get together and just let us know their kind of two cents on farming and what we're doing and how to improve. And one of which was raised on a dairy, and he noticed that one of our cows was having a hard time calving.
Yeah.
So he pulled up. He goes, how long has she been in labor? And I was like, I don't know, a couple hours. And he goes out there, rolls up his sleeve, like in his like slacks basically, pulls the calf, walks out, washes his hands, and goes, well, see you tomorrow. And it was all in like 20 minutes, like time as it was taking me to like run and get the kids in a stroller. And it was like those sort of moments just don't happen everywhere. I can't imagine.
Yeah, you know? No, that's a wonderful
story. So our neighbors and community are just amazing. Oh, that's a hot wire. You okay? I do want you to be careful, because remember what we said about it would really hurt your noggin if you fell off. Right?
Yeah.
So just be careful.
That is, honestly, I think that's one of those things, like, you know, climbing a big pile of hay bales, you know, what an awesome jungle gym that is.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I think about, again, a lot of the romance that people have about farming and small farms and growing up on a farm. And there's a lot of stuff you get to do that's, you know, a little bit dangerous. Oh, babe. Yeah. Speaking of a little bit dangerous and falling over, it's a little bit of a tumble, but you're bouncing back from that. But it's also kind of, I mean, you know, it's also part of it, is you get to experience these things and you get to be out in all weather and you get to be seeing the animals and it seems like, and they're not going to know any different, that this isn't what everyone gets to do, but everyone gets to do this. This is great.
Right. And it's I think hard for them sometimes because they want to be more free.
Yeah.
But, you know, barbed wire to the eye is something I try to avoid at all costs. So.
And hot wires.
And hot wires. Yeah, we have a lot of hot wire because in pasture-based management, you try to make your rotational paddocks and all that sort of stuff. And the easiest way, cost-effective way is hot wire.
Yeah.
So it ends up happening.
So, and explain what a hot wire is when people... So not everyone knows what a hot wire is, so...
Electric fencing.
Yeah.
And so as a 15-month-old, he doesn't really know what that is yet.
So he heads straight for the hot wire.
Yes. Hi, I know you're so happy.
I have to say, this 15-month-old can move fast. Probably, very speedy, and he's very drawn to puddles.
Yes.
And, it's kind of lovely, to see that enthusiasm.
Pair of farm boots on finally, but
I think what's encouraging too is to see, you know, for you to grow up kind of in this community, in this life, you know, a lot of people grow up doing this kind of work and think, oh my God, I never want to do that. It's hard work. And here you are, you've turned around and come back to it and are plunging in. Is it what you expected at all? I mean, did anything prepare you for what the reality of this is?
I don't think so. I don't think it was as I expected. I think it's more work than I expected, but also more rewarding than I expected. And the community is way more supportive than I think I could have ever dreamed.
Yeah.
Both, like, folks who are getting back into farming.
Yeah.
And folks who are interested in the product.
Yeah.
At this point in our conversation, Wendy's dad, Mike Agelsoff, stopped by the farm to help fix some fencing wire, and I asked him what he thought of Wendy's farm operation.
Hi, I'm Mike Agelsoff. I'm Wendy's father.
Uh-huh. And what do you think about what's happening here? What she's doing.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's great to see younger people become interested in farming. We've tried to help out every way we can, and we have total support for her and what she's doing. She's taking what we did to a couple levels higher with her marketing skills and whatnot.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to see this happening, like passing generations down and seeing the land continue to be agricultural.
Absolutely, yeah, that's great. There's just so few people that are of that age that are interested in it anymore. I mean, it is a lot of work and everything, but it can be very rewarding and to, you know, match your wits against Mother Nature and see what you end up with.
Yeah, it's very inspiring to see it happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Now let's get back to my interview with Wendy LaRue of Melville Farms in the Lewis and Clark Valley.
So how are you marketing your stuff? I mean, how are you finding your customers? If people want to buy, try your meat, get chickens from you, get meat, how do they find you?
Call me up.
Well, so tell us your phone number.
Yes. We have a website, so www.melvillefarms.com.
Uh-huh.
My number is 503-717-2296.
Uh-huh.
And so all thus far has been word of mouth.
Okay.
And then actually Street 14 found me on Instagram.
In the Street 14 Cafe in Astoria?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And
they found you on Instagram?
Found me on Instagram. They're like, hey, do you have stuff you could sell us? And it was Chef Andy at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, let me get my stuff together. So I like figured out my licensing and what I would need to do to get product to them. And
uh-huh.
He totally stuck with me and was patient as I learned the wholesale sale side of things.
Uh-huh.
And so now I am able to sell to Chef Andy Catalano's Alimento.
Uh-huh.
Street 14.
Yeah.
Good Bowl.
Oh, nice.
Smokehouse Butcher Block.
Nice.
And then as of January 2018, Bowie Beer on their daily specials.
Oh, that's so sweet. And congratulations.
So,
that's great.
Thank you. and then we, of course, sell direct to consumer.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of...
And how do people... You don't have a retail store. I mean, you... How do people... So people just call you up and you have some clandestine meat exchange somewhere.
Yes.
Meet me at Milepost 7.
Yes.
I'll be in the gray pickup.
Yeah, a lot of folks try to order a couple at a time.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll either deliver, like, in town somewhere, mm-hmm. or, I mean, people are welcome to come by at any time.
Uh-huh.
Just give me a shout and make sure I'm around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all my licensed freezers are actually in my garage.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're
we got to keep walking. We got to follow Jethro, man. He's getting ahead of us. There's hot wire. we're walking and talking. We're walking and talking. So people can contact you. They can purchase directly from you. You deliver to town, to Astoria.
Yes.
So if you're in South County or East County or something like that, you've probably got to come to this area to get stuff from you. But
yeah,
at this point. I mean, it's a small operation.
It's a small operation, and kids aren't quite as patient in the car as I am, so.
I understand, but they're growing.
They're growing, yes.
And they'll, yeah. So what are you hoping for the future? I mean, what are you excited about this coming year?
I am thrilled about this coming year. So we have a lot of new pasture that we just acquired from my parents, and so we're going to be trying to build our beef herd, uh-huh. our Irish Dexter heritage beef herd.
Cool.
And also, we really like the idea of the holistic side of things. So we're trying to do our pastured poultry after we graze, kind of mm-hmm. use that as a
rotation,
nutrient cycling.
Sweet.
And then get the pasture to recover, and then your pasture's better than when you started. So,
yeah. So I've heard that with people that are raising animals, that actually a lot of what you're doing is growing grass.
Yes.
You're growing pasture. You're really like in
grass
the past.
Farmer.
You're a grass farmer who happens to use animals to manage your grass.
Yes. Yes.
So that's that's a lot to learn about.
It's a lot to learn about. I do thank my forestry background because, you know, there was a lot of soils education. There was a mm-hmm. lot of kind of cross There were some ag classes. Mm-hmm. So it gave me a good jumping off point. And honestly, like, my parents have been at it for a lot longer than I have.
So there's wisdom there that
there's
you're...
There's wisdom that I get to use and grow from, which is more than anyone could ever ask for. I don't have to learn it all in a book. I have my dad being like, Wendy, you really need to move your animals now. This is what the grass looks like when it's time to move.
But that's fantastic, because it can tell you sometimes, you know, like, when is something ripe? When is it? When should you prune? When should you move your animals? And someone who's been doing that for so long, they just know, you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to understand if you're learning it in a classroom until you've seen that a few times. And then suddenly you realize, oh, wait, for some of my plants, I just know when they're ready to harvest. And I can't explain to you why I know it, but I just know it's ready.
Yeah. Just and, the way it looks somehow. Yeah. And it's like every... like, the bottom line pasture is so much different than the upland pasture.
Yeah.
So it's like it recovers quicker. Uh-huh. It grows faster. And he knows how much it can sustain. And so it's just like, that's too many cows. And try to figure out a new place. So,
yeah. That's exciting. That's wonderful that your family's engaged. And you have multi-generations now involved.
Multi-generations now, yeah.
Fast-moving generations.
He's so
I know. Well, this is so exciting. I really look forward to seeing where your farm goes from here. And I wish that radio could convey to you the joy of watching young Jethro wade through all the water puddles and the mud
and sneak behind our grapes.
Sneak behind the grapes. And just the whole time we've been doing this interview, he's just been wandering around, getting muddy, doing exactly, falling over, getting back up again, and just clearly, or maybe not enjoying himself, but recovering. And he clearly loves it here.
He loves it.
And it is a truly beautiful, beautiful property.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of In Season on Coast Community Radio. I want to thank Wendy LaRue of Melville Farms for sharing her story with us, and I also want to thank her children, Quinn and Jethro, for making this interview so much fun. I wish that there was a way to show you how Wendy's love for her land and her respect for the animals in her care shines through as she talks about her farm. For people who eat meat, knowing that there are local sources for ethically raised, humanely processed meat is an encouraging step forward in our region's journey to having a healthy, thriving food system in place. I'm encouraged by the number of people, both young and not so young, who are taking on the challenge of farming and ranching all throughout our Lower Columbia Pacific communities. I urge you to seek out local farmers and taste the bounty of what's being produced here in our beautiful coastal region. Thanks for listening.